We're going to pray and get started. Father, we just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you open our eyes that we see, you open our ears that we hear, and you give us a heart to understand exactly what you want us to say. Holy Spirit, use us as an instrument to speak to your people. Let them know what you want them to hear. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Last week we started on in the section on honor. And we're going to continue along that line, and then we're going to get into some other areas. Talked about the fivefold design for leadership. It's a team design, not a one-man show. We made that statement last week. We also made a statement last week. We said only acts of honor such as these can establish and sustain relationships, these relationships of the apostle, the prophets, the evangelist, the teacher, and the pastor. Diverse anointings each contribute something entirely unique to the project to bring heaven to earth, and this requires an honoring, and it is undemocratic attitude, an undemocratic attitude. It's not democratic, it's not majority rule, it's what God says, and what God says is the rule. That says you have something I don't have, and I need what you have. That's basically what we're saying. I have something that you don't have, and I need what you have. So, and when we look at apostles in this fivefold ministry gift, I'm basically talking about the leadership paradigm right now, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, teachers, and each one of them should honor each one of the fivefold ministry gifts. And so each one should look at each other and say that apostle have something that I don't have. I need what he have. The prophet the same way, the evangelist the same way, the pastor the same way, and the teachers the same way. When fivefold leaders model this kind of honor amongst themselves, then equipping the saints become a matter of extending honor by releasing every individual believer into his or her unique identity and destiny. That's why I ended up last week. And so we're going to go on and give you some more pointers here. Honor empowers people. I need you to have that. Honor empowers people. It is time for everyone in the church to begin honoring those with fivefold anointings. The apostle, the prophet, teacher, pastors, and evangelists must honor each other and receive each other with the right name. So if someone say that they are an apostle, then you receive him as an apostle. If you say I'm a prophet, you receive him as a prophet. But we know that we can tell each one of the gifts by the fruit that they bear. And so that's how we determine who's who. And so we can go back and look at our scripture in Matthew 10, 41, that states that if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you shall receive a prophet's reward. So that's a principle that God set up in the Bible. So each one of these fivefold ministry gifts, we can look at the same way. He that receive an apostle in the name of an apostle. He that receive a teacher in the name of a teacher. He that receive evangelists in the name of an evangelist shall receive an evangelist reward. As we do those things that are out of joint will be restored to their rightful place. And so as we honor the gift as God's government, it's basically what we're reestablishing. We're restoring God's government the way God set it up. As you go back and you look at your basic scriptures, your basic scriptures are Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. You look at that. You look at Ephesians 4 and 11. You look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. And these are the way, this is the government God. God said, I'm going to restore this government back and I'm going to put it up on my son's shoulder. And Ephesians 2:20 says, built up on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets and the apostles, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So that's God said, I'm setting the government up. And when I set my government up, it's going to be a flow. There's a flow that takes place and the flow flows through. In 1 Corinthians, he said, God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. And what he was saying, there's an order. There's an order that flows from God. It's like when Moses took that oil and poured it on Aaron's head. and it flows from the head down through the his shoulders, down through his garments, and right on down to his feet. And so same thing, God said, when I pull out my anointings, these things I want from heaven, I set up a government. And when I want to flow, it's like a funnel, and it funnels itself from the top right on down through. And if we honor those gifts the way God set it up, and then again, we are looking at the supernatural. And this book is a supernatural book. We need to understand that. We who are the body of Christ, the church, is a supernatural entity. And so we should act that way, and everything that we do should be out of the natural. It should be supernatural. That's who God is. We was created in his image, and Jesus came back to restore us to that image. So and since God is supernatural, his words are supernatural, then we should be acting accordingly. As we are to hook up to the floor of the funnel is what we are doing as we set up God's government, restore God's government. And again, it goes from the apostle, and we hear the apostle is hearing from heaven, and he's whatever's being said in heaven, he's bringing that to earth. And so it's flowing from heaven through the apostle, through the prophets, and right on down through to the body. Honor has fallen on hard times in our culture, because if we have been in church any length of time, basically we have not heard hardly anything, except if we read the scriptures in Ephesians about apostles and about prophets. But God said, when Jesus left, he left it in the hands of the apostles. It said in Acts, it said he continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And he also told us again in Ephesians 2, that is what it was built up on, the foundation of. And so in our culture, honor has fallen on hard times in our culture. Independence is worship. So everybody is, they say, I'm a pastor. I have a major ministry. And so, but if he's a pastor, then he still have to go to the apostle. He should be under that umbrella. So maybe one of the reasons that we're not seeing these signs and wonders and miracles happening the way it happened in the scriptures is because we are not doing it the way God set it up. And again, I keep saying the way God set it up. It's the way, not the way man set it up. It's the way God set it up. And if God say, I set it up this way, then this is the way it should run. If it's not running, doing it the way I told you to do it, then you're doing it on your own, and you become your own God. You're your own God. So the results you get are the results that you're creating for yourself. We focus on private relationships with God and have a hard time recognizing spiritual authority and considering others as more important than ourselves. So again, we're talking about our spiritual authority. It's not in the realm of the natural. We're talking about a spiritual kingdom here. And if we're going to operate in a spiritual kingdom, then we have to operate spiritually. Again, that scripture over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where it says a natural man receiveth not things from the Spirit of God. He can receive nothing from God. So if you're trying to receive it in the natural, then what you get is what you get. That's what you're creating for yourself. And since you're creating that for yourself, that's what you're going to get. The result is that we are cut off from the flow of heaven. So as we, like I said, 90%, if you go back and see and think about the body of Christ as a whole, and as some of us been in church for a long time, and we've seen the enemy come in and destroy, you know, our loved ones, and, you know, he put sickness and disease on our loved ones. He put oppression of the enemy on our loved ones. They're walking in lack and in poverty. And this is the body of Christ. God has provided everything through Jesus Christ, everything that we need to operate in. And so, we love God, And we go to church, we probably go to church more than we go anywhere else. If we are Christians, we go to church, we have church on Mondays, and we have church on Wednesdays. We have church on Fridays and church on Sundays. So if out of 7 days, 4 days out of a week, we've been in church. But still, the enemy comes in, and they're living on the wrong side of John 10:10, where the enemy comes in, kill, steal, and destroy. And the scripture states that Jesus say, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So if you're in church and you're not having abundant life, then something is wrong. So the first thing we should ask is what are we doing wrong? We need to find out what's happening here. Why does the enemy have so much control? Luke 19 tells us, he tells us that, behold, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means should do you no harm. And so if that's true, if the Bible is true, we know the Bible is true because Numbers 23:19 tells us that God is not a man that he can still lie. And if he said it, he will make it good. And so then we who are in the body, we need to find out what it is. Well, it's not God, then it has to be us. And so what are we doing? So once we figure out and the Holy Spirit, go to the Holy Spirit and he reveal it to us, and then we make those corrections. That's why God always say, repent. And all we have to do is repent. And once we repent, we turn away from which way we are going, and we go the way God wants us to go. We go in the opposite direction. But when this funnel is connected and we begin to get in the flow, you will begin to see signs, you will begin to see miracles, and you will begin to see the wonders that the Bible talks about. That's all throughout the book of Acts. They're talking about signs. They talk about Jesus did signs. He did wonders. He did miracles. And so if he did it, and he said, works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works because I go to my Father, then we should be doing that work which he did also. The remarkable growth that you'll see at Word Life Christian Center, LTMA, Ever-Increasing Word Ministry, will be a testimony to the remarkable difference people will begin to see in the environment where the funnel is connected and people are getting in on the flow. We are getting in on the flow. LTMA is growing. And when I say growth, it's not necessarily numbers that we're seeing. Growth means that we are growing spiritually in the things that we know of God. 1 Peter tells us, we are partakers of God's divine nature based on the knowledge that we have of him. And so if we learn about who God is and what he has done and how he set it up, and then we become, turn to 1 Peter. Let's look over there. First scripture we looked at, I've been teaching for almost 5 minutes now, and I haven't even looked at a scripture. Let's look at one here, 1 Peter. Mm-hmm. 2 Peter, I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, it says that Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. So there that foundation is again. He says, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We've obtained righteousness. We know that we have righteousness because it's not our righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. So we are righteous. So we've obtained that righteousness already. It said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So based on the knowledge that we have of God and that what we know about who he is and what he will do, we become partakers of his divine nature. We have to know that we have a divine nature, and it is on the inside of us. And so once we know that, then we can begin to operate in this kingdom the way God set it up. We're going to begin to operate in our dominion. But you have to know that you have this dominion. And it's on the inside of you. It came on the inside of you. And you have to draw on it. As our apostle has been teaching us about sonship and that we are sons of God, sons and daughters of God. And the inheritance that we have because we are sons and daughters. And we can go and we can receive things because we understand the fact that we are sons. One of the things that we was ministering on yesterday is over in Romans, and he was telling us about, you know, the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, sons and daughters. When I say sons, I'm talking about both genders, and sons and daughters of God. And so if they're waiting, then there must be something that we must manifest in order for them to be waiting on. So they're waiting for us, and it's time for us to begin to manifest. That means that when we manifest those signs and those wonders, when we walk up on the enemy, we're going to do just like Jesus did when he was here. He came, he was manifested. 1 John 3:8 says he was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so if we're going to establish this kingdom, the enemy's kingdom has to be totally destroyed. And we do it in the realm of the spirit. And we do it by doing it the way God set it up from the beginning. If we do it that way, then the enemy is totally defeated. Like Moses pouring oil over Aaron's head, God is continuously pouring life, joy, health, peace, and all the other blessings of heaven into his funnel. And it is a powerful experience of a wineskin that is fully capable of carrying and releasing the outpouring of God that has promised to us all along. So God say every promise of mine is yea and amen to us who believe it. And so since we are believers, if God has promised us something in the scripture, then guess what? He's going to make it good to us. Every promise is yea and amen. Yea and amen. It didn't say no and you can't have it. It say yea and amen. So if we find the promises and know what God has said, have knowledge of what God has said. One of the scriptures, awesome scripture I've been studying and reading over is in Psalm 103. And it says where Moses knew God's ways and the children of Israel knew his acts. So what they did, they saw what he would do, but they didn't know what he would do. They saw what he could do, but they didn't know what he would do. Moses always knew what God would do. And since he knew what God would do, he knew how to go to God. He knew how to confront him. And so it's like that scripture. It comes up and he'd say, 1 John 5:14, he'd say, and this is the confidence I have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, he heareth me. And if I know that he hear me, then the petition that I requested of him, I know I can receive it. That means I know God. I know if I ask him what he according to his will, that I know that he's going to hear me. And then the second part, if I know that he hear me, then whatever I'm asking for, then I know I can receive that, see. And so that's knowing God, see. That's not knowing what he'll do. That's knowing God himself. Know if I ask him according to his will, he's going to hear me. And so this is what we who are in the body of Christ, this is what the fivefold ministry gift, have to begin to see the body of Christ begin to act, become independent of their own actions, but they're the train. If you go back and look at Ephesians 4 and begin at verse 11, and when the Apostle Paul said he gave these gifts unto men that they might, the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry, for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the saints have to be matured. They have to grow. We have to grow up. Again, over in Galatians 4, that's one of the things Apostle Paul talks about. He says, as long as you're a child, he said, you're no different than a servant. That means that even though you own everything, but as long as you're a child, you can't operate in that which God has provided. So that's why we in the body of Christ have to grow up. And by growing up, by sitting here, by listening, by taking training, learning who God is, and we can begin to operate the way God set it up. And that's what we are here for. Amen. But only honor will build this wineskin, keep it intact, get us involved with what's on the inside of us. So one of the things, turn to Matthew chapter 9. Let's look and see what the scripture says about this wineskin. Matthew chapter 9. It says verse 16. 9 and 16 says, no man putteth a new piece of cloth into an old garment, for that which is put in it to fill it up, take it away from the garment, and the rent is made worse. He said, neither do men put new wine into old wineskins. New wine into old bottles, else the bottle breaks, and the wine runneth out, and the bottle perishes. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. So if you come in with the attitude that what I'm learning now, come in with that same attitude with our old traditions, our old paradigm that the pastor's still in charge and that he should not be under that God's government, under that leadership flow, then guess what? We're putting old wine, we're trying to put new wine into old bottles, and we're trying to put new ideas that God has given us into old bottles. We have to change our whole thinking. And so when we change our whole thinking, this new wine that we're putting in, we got a new paradigm now. And apostles are hearing from heaven so they can bring what's in heaven to earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so, and again, God says there's no sickness or disease in heaven. And so what we're doing, we're bringing it, that old stuff, all that old stuff that you had in it, all that tradition that we have in us, it has to be torn down, broken up, and removed so we can put this new wine in us, and then we can begin to operate. We can begin to do what God tells us, and then we can begin to see. As you do this, you're going to begin to see these signs. You're going to begin to see these miracles. And not only are you going to see them, you're going to expect. When you walk up on a sickness and disease, you're going to expect to be able to do something about it. And just because you know who you are, and you will be able to do something about it, because you know Jesus promised. He said, works I do, shall you do also, and greater works, because I went to my Father. And he sent the whole same thing he did while he was here, the same power that he had while he was here. He's given us that same power, that same ability to do what we do, what we get. Again, that scripture, as I'm sitting here and I hear my apostle, and he runs through my head, and he goes over, and we was reading in John yesterday, and over in John he say, as many as receive him, to them do he give the ability to become sons of God. But just because we have that ability don't mean that we're going to become. There's something that we have to do. And so in order for us to become those sons and daughters of God, then we have to go and one who told us, we have to go to him and find out and let him show us how we do that. And we have to go to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I sent the Holy Spirit. I sent your helper. I sent your guide. And so, like I said, we keep trying to do it on our own. It won't happen. But every time something come up, we're going to have to go to him. As many as in Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So as we, as the Spirit of God show us things, and we don't know how to do it. We don't go out. We lean not to our understanding. But in everything we do, we acknowledge him, and he's going to direct our path. He's going to tell us what to do. He's going to show us what to do. And when he shows us what to do, then we're going to do that. And when we do that, then those supernatural manifestations have to take place, because we are not doing it in our strength, in our power. We're doing it the way God set it up and the way he told us to do it. So I wanted to show you that in Matthew 9:16. And so, like I said, again, we get away from our tradition, our way of doing things. The tradition of men have made the word of God of none effect, none effect. That means that God's word is still powerful, but because of our tradition and the things that we're used to doing, then if God's word is not as powerful as it should be. And so it's made God's word of none effect. And so as we're learning, as we're training, the scripture over in Mark, and like I say, it's awesome scripture. He tells you what happens as we continue to learn, as we continue to put this word in us. He says, we're sowing. When Jesus began to teach on that parable, the parable of a sower, he was talking about the word. And as you're getting the word in it, he said the first thing that's going to happen, even though it's sowing in your heart, he said the enemy is going to come and try to steal his word out of your heart. Why? He don't want you to know who you are. And then, cares of this world, persecution, those type of things that come in and take the word out of your heart. It seems, you get into a rough spot and to life situations. It's not your life, because you got abundant life. Being a Christian, you have abundant life. But you get into these life situations, and as you get into these life situations, you allow that to become your control rather than the word of God becoming your control. And so he says that would take away from the word of God. But he said, what you do, you sow this word, you put this word in your heart, and he's saying you sleep night and day, and that seed, that word becomes that seed, and it springs up and grow. He said, you don't know how it grows. And he said, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. And he said, and then when the harvest has come, immediately you put in the sickle. That means that now I have full maturity in these things that God has provided for me, because I meditated on these words. Now this word has come to harvest. And when it come to harvest, I can use this word. It's now it's coming from not from the outside of me, but it's coming from the inside. And when it comes from the inside, and then I can begin to use that which God has provided for me. In me. And so, we sit here and we say, I'm hearing these scriptures, and I do this, but it's not working. It's a process of time. It takes time, but it do works. The Apostle Paul, he said it took him 14 years to get this revelation of Jesus Christ. It just didn't happen overnight. It takes time. It's spending time in the presence of God. And as we spend time in his presence, then God himself began to manifest himself in your life. And so I just wanted to make sure you understand that. Let's go a little bit further. We're going on, and like I said, we're going to move a little bit faster because time is coming up short, and there's a lot more information that I need to get to you before this class is over. This is a lot of information. We read the book, but it ain't that much in there. But the Holy Spirit said, here's all this information. So we're going to try to give you some more of it. Chapter 3 of the book, it says, governing from heaven, governing from heaven. And so that's what we want to be. We want to be governing here on earth from heaven, not from earth to heaven, but from heaven to earth. This chapter strikes at the heart of the accuser. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to shift your little paradigm again. Your paradigm of justice. I'm going to look at that. We're going to look at some of the things that Jesus did. And so when we talk about culture of honor, these are some of the things that's in there. And we're going to look at some of that. So many times through life situations, when things come up on us, the first thing that happens is we manifest and we try to operate in a spirit of fear. Fear comes in, but we know over in Timothy, they say, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so he didn't give us that spirit of fear. And all through scripture. When God got ready to do something, one of the things he always tell, he told Joshua, he said, fear not. And he, again, in Isaiah, he told Isaiah, he said, fear not. And so when he's telling you not to fear, that means that have faith in what God. See, fear is opposite of faith. So if you're in fear, that means that you're not operating in faith. And what God says in Hebrews 11:6, he says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. We who come to God must believe that he is and that he rewards us who diligently seek him. In any situation, no matter what comes up, we seek him about that situation. It's going to always work out to my good. Fear begins to grip our heart. Say, for instance, if a child has done something and, he have not done what you think he should have done. And so the first thing you come up with is fear. And so something has happened and you begin to wonder, how am I going to control this situation? And so that's when we love someone, the thing is, we try to control it. You know, love it's a control that we're trying to get, and not so much as allowing that individual to find out what he's done. So we who are in the body of Christ, and I bring this up because in the body of Christ, what we've done as in the church, and that's how we got started on this class, this Culture of Honor class. And so in the church, as ministers, as being part of the body of Christ, when a member of the body of Christ do something, what we do, the first thing we do, we kick them to the curb. We the only entity that that don't take care of our own when they do something wrong, when they do something bad. And see, Jesus gave us an example. We're going to look at the example that Jesus gave. But what we're to do, we're to restore that individual back to his original place, who are in the body of Christ. I always look at the analogy of a hospital. And a hospital is designed for someone who's sick. And if you go to the hospital and you're sick and they don't treat you, then that hospital is not doing their job. So in the kingdom of God, if someone does something which is a sickness, and they have to be restored to that position, and when they come to the body of Christ, we who are in the body have to be the one who restored them to their position. We just can't allow them to lay idle. Lay out there and continue to fester, we have to be able to do something about it. So again, fear begins to grip our heart. Maybe the child has messed up or something. Something has happened and you begin to wonder, how am I going to control this situation? Because most of the time, that which we love, we try to control. And so if we love something, we're going to try to control it. And that's not the way we do it. Then we begin to operate it in a spirit of fear. But instead of fear gripping your heart, ownership of the problem should be the real issue. Turn to 2 Timothy. Let's look at the scripture over here. Second Timothy chapter 2, looking at verse 24. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach patience, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." It says, "and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who have taken them captive by him at his will." And so he's saying that we are to teach patience. When we get into sin, when we get into error, we are actually opposing ourselves, our own selves. I see a scripture over in 1 John and 1 and 9. And the scripture, it comes to us and it says, if we sin, if we commit a sin, he says, and we come to him and we confess that thing, he said he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we have to know that we are in sin. We have to know that we've done something wrong. But the only way we're going to know that we have done something wrong, we have to know that ourselves. But if just because you got caught, and you know, does not mean that you know that you did something wrong. And so you, even though you repent, you're maybe repenting because you got caught. But you have to learn. And so that's why we are apt to teach. We have to teach and let them know, you know, let them figure out for themselves what I've done wrong. And once they figure out what they've done wrong, then they can truly, you can truly repent because, you know, now I understand what went wrong. I know what I did was wrong. And because I know what I did, now I can truly repent and I can correct it. And so we who are in the body of Christ, that's the thing that we have to begin to do. And if God's government is in place, those who are in leadership position, they have places they can go now. They are the apostles in the place, the prophets in the place, the pastors in the place, the teachers in place, the evangelists in place. God's government is in place. And since his government is in place, then the body of Christ can come and correct that situation. And so God is not holding anything against us. And so so what we have to do is begin to, verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who have taken them captive by him at his will. So by us kicking him to the curb is not going to allow him to deliver himself. It's not going to allow him to recover from that situation because now, you know, he really don't have nowhere to go. He have no support mechanism. And so the only thing that's going to happen now is that he's going to continually spiral downwards. You know, he's just going to continue rather than, you know, going along and recovering himself. It goes on to say, but instead of fear gripping your heart, ownership of the problem should be the real issue. The ownership of this thing should be brought to the light in some manner, and the one who has the problem should be the one to settle this thing in their heart. So they didn't want, the one who has the issue should be the one who settled the issue in his heart. He have to know that he've done wrong. And like I said, just because you get caught and you repent because you get caught, you're only repenting, you know, you might say you're repenting, but you are basically only repenting because you got caught. And so are you really truly repenting? Are you truly sorry? But once you learn what you did was wrong and you learn it in your heart, now you can truly repent and change that situation. They say the way we parent our children when they make mistakes reflects most clearly what we believe about human failure, particularly sin. So many of us think that sin, mistakes, and falling short are more powerful than God's love for us. And as I was going through this, one of the things I looked at the scripture, Romans 8, and the scripture says, he said, there's no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So we have to know this. We have to understand this. And so once we begin to understand this, we begin to see it, and then we can ourselves personally say, well, you know, Jesus have not condemned me. God have not condemned me because Jesus have took care of this situation. Our human failure is this powerful force that can overcome us. When the disciples begin to look at situations, let's turn to Luke, a good example here, over in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, looking at verse 51. It said, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou not that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. So they were saying, because these men did not honor him or not accept him the way he should, they want to just reach out and destroy. That's why when people come against us in this life we cannot curse individuals. And see, we're powerful individuals. And things like, you hope or wish something bad happened to that individual. And so when we say that, we're cursing that in. We're calling out fire from heaven, because our words are powerful words. And because they are, then, and what we've done, we become judge, jury, and executioner. And so because someone do you something wrong, then, and we get mad, we get upset. But again, we are powerful individuals. And so we have to be aware at all times who we are as Christians. And that's what Jesus walked around, and he was always cool. No matter what happens, he would always, I think about when they brought this lady who they say was caught in the very act of sin. We're gonna go over and we're gonna look at that. And he was sitting there, and they was accusing her, and they said she was caught in the very act of adultery. She was caught in the act of it. And the only thing he did, he was just sitting there. He was just writing on the ground. And then he finally got up and he looked around and he said, you who has not committed sin. He said, let them cast the first stone, because the law say if you commit adultery, then that person had to be stoned. But Jesus came and he was bringing a different kingdom. He was bringing the kingdom of God to the earth. And so he said, where are thou accusers? He asked him, and she said, Lord, there's none that accuse me. And he said, well, neither do I. And so he said, go and sin no more. And so he was showing us a different paradigm here. And the paradigm is, again, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And since we are not condemned, then we have to figure out what it is that we are doing. We have to learn. We have to train. And like I said, we're gonna go through this. We're gonna turn it over, and we're gonna see through Scripture who are in the kingdom of God, how we should operate, how we should do it. I'm gonna take my time, and I'm gonna let you see it. You're gonna be, by the time I finish, you're gonna be able to see it. He say in that scripture, he say, Jesus rebuked them and said, you do not know what kind of spirit you are. In 1 Timothy 7, it tells us again, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind, our self-control. We should have, as individuals, we should have that self-control, that power he's talking about. If you can write down the scripture over in Luke 10:19, you can write that, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means do you any harm. He said, of love. He said, hope, make it not ashamed. Romans 5:5. Hope make it not ashamed, for the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So, and that's our helper. And so this love that he's talking about is not that natural love that we always think about. You know, you're running down the highway and all of a sudden somebody come up behind you and you're not moving fast enough for you. And then they run out behind you. And then as they get by you, they you know, throw up that old finger at you or something like that. And so the first thing you want to do, you want to do the same thing. But that natural love says, you know, you look at them and you let them go. You know, they know not what they do. So, you know, and so with that understanding, that's what God is telling us. In fact, let Romans 5:5 be your meditation scripture for this week. Hope make it not ashamed, for the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And so that's, like I say, this is a special love. You can't do this as a natural man. The Holy Ghost has to help us with this love. And so as we get into this culture, this honor, we're going to begin to see it. You see, and also notice it's not a spirit of others control. When we do these things, and one of the things we have to do, even God himself gave everybody a choice. And see, he didn't control them. He gave us a choice. You know, and I always think about that scripture. He said, you know, I set before you life and death, but I tell you to choose life. He didn't say, I command you to choose life. He said, I tell you to choose life. He said, I want what is best for you. And so even Adam and Eve, he gave them a choice. When he was in the garden, he said, I set all these trees before you. He said, but do not eat off the tree. This tree of good and evil, this knowledge of good and evil, what God want? He want people who are gonna love him from their hearts, and not because he trying to control them. And so, in the body of Christ, it should be the same thing. And like I say, this love that we're talking about, this love, this Romans 5:5, it's only gonna happen because the Holy Spirit is helping us with this love. It goes on to say, when we are afraid of other people's sin, it makes us crazy in the presence of sin. And again, when someone commits a sin, the first thing we want to do is, again, kick them to the curb. You know, everything that you got, I want to take everything you got. You shouldn't own nothing no more. And so since that has happened. So when we confront people, or when we are confronted with people's mistakes, with something that we might not control right there in that moment, we become scared and exercise our authority in the wrong spirit, cooperating with the demonic plan, motivated by the spirit of fear. And so, again, we have to come to a point that we allow an individual, a person who are in the body, to become deliver themselves out of the snare of the devil. Only way they're going to happen, they're going to have to be able to see it. That's the same thing if we bring a person who has been hooked on drugs, and we bring them to a 9-step program, we bring them to 12-step programs, we bring them to 24-step programs, and they never really realize that they have a problem. But once you bring them to a situation that they can learn that they have a problem, then they can themselves deliver themselves out of the snare of the enemy. Father, we just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father, we thank you for the revelation that has gone forth today. And no longer, Father, are we just hearers of what you're telling us to do, but we become doers of your word. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.